The Third Century, paragraphs 22 through 30. Number 22. These liquid, clear satisfactions were the emanations of the highest reason, but not achieved till a long time afterwards. In the meantime, I was sometimes, though seldom, visited and inspired with new and more vigorous desires after that bliss which nature whispered and suggested to me. Every new thing quickened my curiosity and raised my expectation. I remember once the first time I came into a magnificent or noble dining room and was left there alone. I rejoiced to see the gold and state and carved imagery, but when all was dead and there was no motion, I was weary of it and departed dissatisfied. But afterwards, when I saw it full of lords and ladies and music and dancing, the place which once seemed not to differ from a solitary den had now entertainment, and nothing of tediousness but pleasure in it, by which I perceived, upon a reflection made long after, that men and women are, when well understood, a principal part of our true felicity. By this I found also that nothing that stood still could by doing so be a part of happiness, and that affection, though it were invisible, was the best of motions. But the august and glorious exercise of virtue was more solemn and divine, which yet I saw not, and that all men and angels should appear in heaven. Number 23. Another time, in a lowering and sad evening, being alone in a field, when all things were dead and quiet, a certain want and horror fell upon me beyond imagination. The unprofitableness and silence of the place dissatisfied me. Its wideness terrified me. From the utmost ends of the earth, fear surrounded me. How did I know but dangers might suddenly arise from the east and invade me from the unknown regions beyond the seas? I was a weak and little child, and had forgotten there was a man alive in the earth. Yet something also of hope and expectation comforted me from every border. This taught me that I was concerned in all the world, and that in the remotest borders the causes of peace delight me, and the beauties of the earth, when seen, were made to entertain me, that I was made to hold a communion with the secrets of divine providence in all the world, that a remembrance of all the joys I had from my birth ought always to be with me, that the presence of cities, temples, and kingdoms ought to sustain me, and that to be alone in the world was to be desolate and miserable. The comfort of houses and friends, the clear assurance of treasures everywhere, God's care and love, His goodness, wisdom, and power, His presence and watchfulness in all the ends of the earth, were my strength and assurance forever, and that these things, being absent to my eye, were my joys and consolations, as present to my understanding as the wideness, and that these things, being absent to my eye, were my joys and consolations, as present to my understanding as the wideness and emptiness of the universe which I saw before me. Number 24. When I heard of any new kingdom beyond the seas, the light and glory of it pleased me immediately. It rose up within me, and I was enlarged wonderfully. I entered into it. I saw its commodities, rarities, springs, meadows, riches, inhabitants, and became possessor of that new room. As if it had been prepared for me, so much was I magnified and delighted in it. When the Bible was read, my spirit was present in other ages. I saw the light and splendor of them, the land of Canaan, the Israelites entering into it, the ancient glory of the Amorites, their peace and riches, their cities, houses, vines and fig trees, the long prosperity of their kings, their milk and honey, their slaughter and destruction, with the joys and triumphs of God's people. All which entered into me, and got among them. I saw all and felt all in such a lively manner, as if there had been no other way to those places but in spirit only. This showed me the liveliness of interior presence, and that all ages were for most glorious ends accessible to my understanding, yea, within it, for without changing place in myself I could behold and enjoy all those. Anything when it was proposed, though it was 1,000 ages ago, being always before me. Number 25. When I heard any news, I received it with greediness and delight, because my expectation was awakened with some hope that my happiness and the thing I wanted was concealed in it. Glad tidings, you know, from a far country brings us our salvation, and I was not deceived. In Jewry was Jesus killed, and from Jerusalem the gospel came, which, when I once knew, I was very confident that every kingdom contained like wonders and causes of joy, though that was the fountain of them, and it was the first fruits. So was it the pledge of what I shall receive in other countries. Thus also, when any curious cabinet or secret in chemistry, geometry, or physic was offered to me, I diligently looked into it. But when I saw it to the bottom, and not my happiness, I despised it. Those imaginations and this thirst of news occasioned these reflections. Number 26. On News. News from a foreign country came, as if my treasure and wealth lay there. So much it did my heart inflame, 'twas wont to call my soul into mine ear, which thither went to meet the approaching sweet, and on the threshold stood to entertain the unknown good. It hovered there, as if 'twould leave mine ear, and was so eager to embrace the joyful tidings as they came, 'twould also leave its dwelling place to entertain the same. As if the tidings were the things, my very joys themselves, my foreign treasure, or else did bear them on their wings. With so much joy they came, with so much pleasure. My soul stood at the gate, to recreate itself with bliss, and to be pleased with speed, a fuller view it fain would take. Yet journeys back would make unto my heart, 'twould fain go out to meet, yet stay within, to fit a place to entertain, and bring the tidings in. What sacred instinct did inspire my soul in childhood with a hope so strong? What secret force moved my desire to expect my joys beyond the seas so young? Felicity, I knew, was out of view, and being here alone, I saw that happiness was gone from me. For this I thirsted absent bliss, and thought that sure beyond the seas, or else in something near at hand, I knew not yet, since naught did please, I knew, my bliss did stand. But little did the infant dream that all the treasures of the world were by, and that himself was so the cream and crown of all, which round about did lie. Yet thus it was, the gem, the diadem, the ring enclosing all, that stood upon this earthly ball, the heavenly eye, much wider than the sky, wherein they all included were, the glorious soul that was the king, made to possess them did appear a small and little thing. Number 27. Among other things there befell me a most infinite desire of a book from heaven. For observing all things to be rude and superfluous here upon earth, I thought the ways of felicity to be known only among the holy angels, and that unless I could receive information from them I could never be happy. This thirst hung upon me a long time, till at last I perceived that the God of angels had taken care of me and prevented my desires. For he had sent the book I wanted before I was born, and prepared it for me, and also commended and sent it unto me in a far better manner than I was able to imagine. Had some angel brought it to me, which was the best way wherein I could then desire it, it would have been a peculiar favor, and I should have thought myself therein honored above all mankind. It would have been the soul of this world, the light of my soul, the spring of life, and a fountain of happiness. You cannot think what riches and delights I promised myself therein. It would have been a mint of rarities, curiosities, and wonders, to have entertained the powers of my soul, to have directed me in the way of life, and to have fed me with pleasures unknown to the whole world. Number 28. Had some angel brought it miraculously from heaven and left it at my foot, it had been a present meant for seraphims. Yet had it been a dream in comparison of the glorious way wherein God prepared it, I must have spent time in studying it, and with great diligence have read it daily to drink in the precepts and instructions it contained. It had in a narrow, obscure manner come unto me, and all the world had been ignorant of felicity but I, whereas now there are thousands in the world of whom I, being a poor child, was ignorant, that in temples, universities, and secret closets enjoy felicity, whom I saw not in shops or schools or trades, whom I found not in streets or at feasts or taverns, and therefore thought not to be in the world, who enjoy communion with God and have fellowship with the angels every day, and these I discern to be a great help unto me. Number 29. This put me upon two things, upon inquiring into the matter in the Bible, and into the manner wherein it came unto me. In the manner I found all the glad tidings my soul longed after its desire of news, in the manner that the wisdom of God was infinitely greater than mine, and that he had appeared in his wisdom exceeding my desires. Above all things I desired some great lord or mighty king, that having power in his hand to give me all kingdoms, riches, and honors, was willing to do it. And by that book I found that there was an eternal God who loved me infinitely, that I was his son, that I was to overcome death and to live forever, that he created the world for me, that I was to reign in his throne and to inherit all things. Who would have believed this had not that book told me? It told me also that I was to live in communion with him, in the image of his life and glory, that I was to enjoy all his treasure and pleasures in a more perfect manner than I could devise, and that all the truly amiable and glorious persons in the world were to be my friends and companions. Number 30. Upon this I had enough. I desired no more the honors and pleasures of this world, but gave myself to the illimited and clear fruition of that, and to this day, seeing nothing wanting to my felicity but mine own perfection. I only and the sons of men about me are disordered. Nevertheless, could I be what I ought, their very disorders would be my enjoyments. For all things should work together for good to them that love God. And if the disorders, then certainly the troubles, and if the troubles, much more the vanities of men would be mine. Not only their enjoyments, but their very errors and distractions increasing my felicity. So that being heir of the world alone, I was to walk in it as in a strange, marvelous, and amiable possession, and alone to render praises unto God for its enjoyment.